following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Okay. Well, just for the record, we got the sun in Phoenix, too.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sunny in Phoenix podcast, a weekly podcast where we keep you up to date on everything Phoenix Suns. My name is David McGraw, and alongside me is the ever so lovely, the ever so dabbing, Mitch Krumpetich.
What's up?
And we got a great show for you today. We got some talking about Alan Williams, Big Sauce. Our wing review continues with small forwards and, you know, maybe a little positionless basketball love.
Oh. Love? What is love?
It's what makes Subaru a Subaru.
Follow us on Twitter at SunnyandPHXPod. Same thing for Instagram. Go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review and a comment, and you will get a shout out on the show.
So, shout out first off. We got some iTunes reviews. This is normally your thing, but I'm jumping in real quick, and then you can do it. So, shout out Tony Nicole for leaving a review. Thank you so much for doing that. I have a feeling you might be all in on the non-sports stuff instead of the, maybe some of the basketball stuff, but, you know, go ahead and skip to 45 minutes. Thanks for listening.
Wow, that was so heartfelt. And speaking of heartfelt, shout out to RyeDogger69, who says, best pod ever. These guys are thebomb.com. They know all things Suns. Just a good NBA-related pod. These guys would make good GMs, honestly. Jimmy Buckets and D'Lo would probably be on the Suns right now. Well, thank you, RyeDogger69. We agree. And before you think we're just super full of ourselves, we can do a shout-out to the NBN League. It's a GM league that we're part of, and we did actually get Jimmy Butler and D'Angelo Russell on the team. So... it's
take that for data.
But thank you for the review. And as always, leave a 5-star rating and a review and you'll get the shout out. But let's just get into this now. Alan Williams, Big Sauce. He signed with the Nets on a 2-way contract. His time in Phoenix is over. He left a nice tweet thanking the city for everything. It's a little bit disappointing because I know we have a 2-way spot open still, but best of luck to Alan Williams in the future. It was fun to have him on the team for those 2 years.
Yeah, listeners of the pod know the love for Big Sauce. Going from the per 36 nonsense to actually being a solid player, and like yeah, he wasn't like the best, but he was fun. He gave effort out there. I would never have complained for bringing Big Sauce back. I wish we could have, but, you know, you bring in Rashawn Holmes, he's gonna kind of play that role, so it makes sense. And I have a feeling we're probably gonna use that 2-way contract on... we're gonna end up trying to cycle in some people, probably D'Anthony Melton to start out before we give him a full-on contract, and, you know, George King for however long that's going to be or how little he plays.
Right. My question, though, with this is who fills the role of bench hype man now that Big Sauce is not on the team? Because everyone needs one of those guys. Who's it going to be for us this year?
Well, I feel like, you know, Davon Reed, the torch has been passed to him.
I can see that. Okay.
Balled out in summer league. Probably not going to ball out in the regular season. I feel like he's definitely the next hype man up. So I'm going to guess him, and if Isaiah Cannon is still on the roster, Isaiah Cannon.
I could see that. I don't think either of them will be nearly the hype man that Big Sauce was, but there was no one like Big Sauce. He's one of a kind, so we'll miss him.
A moment of silence for Big Sauce. And moving on.
So let's get into our small forward review. We've been going through all the positions. If you go back through the last few episodes, you can listen to our point guard review and our shooting guard review. Now we're going to talk about the three, the small forward slash wing part two review. So the guys that we're going to talk about today include Trevor Ariza, TJ Warren, Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson was also on the shooting guard portion, but he's a versatile guy. We know that. Mikal Bridges and George King is technically on this list, but we probably won't talk about him a whole lot. So I think let's just start out by saying, which of these guys do you think starts at like traditional positioned basketball? Who starts at the three of these guys?
I feel like it's Trevor Ariza. I mean, he got the payday. I just feel like between spacing and defense, he makes the most sense. You know, doesn't, like, take away the ball from Devin Booker, doesn't, like, muddle things up in the middle for DeAndre Ayton. I just feel like if we're going strict, just a strict basis right now to start the season, it's Trevor Ariza. If you ask me that halfway through the season, it's Josh Jackson.
I could see that. I think a lot of it, like, halfway through the season depends on how we're doing. Like, if we're on track to be the worst team in the league again, then yeah, Ariza's not going to be playing a whole lot. But if we actually do okay, he'll keep playing because, I mean, like you said, of all these guys, he's probably the best defender. Jackson's a good defender too, but Ariza is a seasoned veteran known for his defense. Good three.
And longer.
Yeah, longer, yeah. Good three-point shooter. Very smart. Very experienced player. So, I mean, we would be kind of dumb not to start him. At the beginning of the season, at least. But I guess, personally, I'm struggling with this because I want Josh Jackson to start somewhere. So let's talk about TJ Warren and Josh Jackson together, I guess. Because both of those guys are starting caliber guys. But what do we do if, I mean, is it a strong possibility that both of them are going to be coming off the bench?
Well, and that brings its own questions, because everything that we've seen from this past year is that Josh Jackson and TJ Warren on the floor together make the worst offensive lineup in basketball.
Right.
So, like, yeah, TJ Warren is starting caliber, but the question is always going to be there, is he starting caliber or is, like, because of his, you know, abilities and all that kind of stuff, does he have a spot in the NBA or is like he a bench guy? Like, you know, we've mentioned it however many times in the summer, because that's just what happens in the summer. You know, can't space the floor, can't really pass. He's one of the worst like assist percentage guys of wings. Like,
isn't he like the worst?
I think so. I was gonna say I think he is the worst, but like he has the assist like ratio of a big man. And he plays wing, which is very important to have a guy that can pass and move the ball. So, like, not to mention, like, defense and, like, just, it's tough. TJ, you know, almost a 20-point per game score, like, off by a couple percentages, basically. Like, or not percentages, points of points, whatever. Like, that's tough, but if you look at it, Josh Jackson probably deserves it deserves more playing time, in my opinion, just because he's younger and he has way more upside.
And I agree with that. Now, this is tough because we all like TJ. TJ has a knack for getting to the rim and finishing in odd ways if necessary. He's very, very good at that, but very one-dimensional. Josh Jackson needs to be played. I've said on the show before, I think his shot is going to be much improved. We know that he's a good defender. Not the best, but one of the better ones on our team for sure. And good overall. He's a much better passer than TJ. Again, not hard to do. But better at facilitating, seeing the floor, all that kind of thing. Better ball handler for sure. Just an all-around defender. He has more skills all around. I think it's fair to say that. So Jackson needs to be getting those minutes, but this is why we've been saying it over and over and over, and we're a month away from the regular season starting, so you only have to hear this for a little bit longer, but one of these guys could very, very possibly not be on this list by October 17th.
And unless it's bringing in a guy like Damian Lillard, TJ's going to be the one that's gone.
Right, for sure. He's by far the most tradable, but like, I think we've been trying to throw him into trades, it seems like. And I don't know, only like really, really good teams are going to want him. And like, they don't want to give up their assets. I get it.
I don't even know if necessarily, I don't know. It's so tough because like, I'm not sure if like there's a spot for him on good teams.
Really?
And that might be like just, you know, being too hard on him. But like, you look at what all the good teams are like trying to do and TJ doesn't do any of those.
That's true.
I think TJ, like, it's going to be on more of a mid to bottom team that's trying to get that next push and needs someone that can score 20 points. I think that's the kind of team that wants TJ more than, I don't think any good teams want TJ.
Well, and that's, unfortunately. I guess that's why the one, I think, if any trade makes a lot of sense for us at least, it's sending TJ and whoever to Charlotte for Kemba. But like, they're not going to want to do that, you know, but like that is exactly what you're talking about. But then they lose their best player in that. So
yep. Yeah, I mean, and that's a clear downgrade for them. Right. They go from Kemba Walker to TJ, and Kemba is for sure like almost 20 point per game scorer and is actually really good. So plus he's a free agent and like,
but that, I mean, they could get something. If it seems clear that Kemba is not going to re-sign, trade him, get something for him, you know?
But I think he's pretty like invested in Charlotte.
I think he is too.
So I think that he will just go back there, and I think they're confident that he'll go back. But you know, not every team is gonna wants to bottom out completely. And I've said this on a couple of different podcasts. So bam, not every team wants to bottom out completely, and that's why Charlotte's not gonna trade Kemba Walker.
Yeah, makes sense. Let's talk about another just stick in the cog of this. If that's a thing, I don't know if that's a thing, but you get what I'm saying.
Sounded good to me.
Mikal Bridges looked pretty good in summer league. Has a good shot. Another 3-and-D, Trevor Ariza light kind of guy. Where does he fit into all of this?
I feel like Mikhail's going to demand minutes. Like, I think he's going to not make mistakes and like play well enough that he's going to warrant minutes. And that's ridiculous because like we don't really have those minutes. Where are we going to get them? What's like, we don't have enough, and you don't play like three guys at each position during a game because that's just not what happens.
We'll see. Like,
well, that's true. I mean, there are some scenarios where, you know, there's a random 11th or 12th guy that, you know. Regardless, like,
here,
Mikal Bridges is going to demand minutes. The dude was the most NBA-ready guy coming out of college. Like, I'm going to say he's the most NBA-ready guy, just about. Like, but outside of, like, Luka Doncic and Ayton, maybe. Like, it's Mikal Bridges. Like, the dude's just ready to play in the NBA. Yeah, he's not bulky necessarily, but he will get that. But because of his just smart play and, like, shot, like, he has the highest floor of anyone.
Here's how I look at Mikal Bridges, and I think this is good timing. In NBA 2K, when you play on my career mode, sometimes you get drafted to a team that, like, already has a few pretty good guys at your position, and then you come in and, like, you always play well and you play like, you start out playing like 5 minutes and you hit like a couple threes or whatever, and then you play well in practice, and then, oh, all of a sudden you're getting 10 minutes, and then by the middle of the season, you're starting and you're averaging 70 points a game or whatever. That's usually how it goes in my career. Now, it's not going to go quite like that for Bridges, but it's just what it reminds me of, you know, and I'm not saying he's going to, like, push out anyone, but I think you're right. He will demand those minutes, but at the beginning of the season, he might be starting with very, very few because he's going to have to prove himself.
You know, I could see this going very almost similarly to a certain number 13 pick a couple of years ago who, like, came in and got very, very few spot minutes and may have been playing behind Sonny Weems and just hit threes and looked like he was just ready to go in space, and then, you know, kind of got thrust more into the role as the season progressed.
Yeah, that does sound a little bit familiar, possibly.
So what I'm saying is that next year Mikal Bridges is going to go crazy and score 70 points, but... Oh, wait, I'm not saying that. Never mind.
I mean, I would welcome that, but I don't see it.
Yeah, no. Not at all.
But, okay, quickly, the one other guy on this list is George King. He's on a two-way contract. He's not going to play, like, at all. But maybe a little bit Big Sauce-esque in there in his game. Maybe. I don't know.
So, it's possible that, like, towards the end of the season is his best shot to get minutes. But it's going to be randomly playing out of position. And
right. Like, and when someone is out for one game for a toe injury or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, when that ultimately happens, when three guys are injured or, like, injured with quotation marks
right.
together, like, maybe taking a rest, and we need someone randomly to play a couple minutes at the four or play a couple minutes on, like, wing, and, like, it'll be George King, and it won't be very promising, but it'll be something. So.
Yeah. So, let's go through and rank these guys. So, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. We talked about 5 guys, and let's just give them a number 1 through 5. I guess we can start at 5. That's probably the easiest. George King is the 5th best player on this list. And then number 4, where do you go?
I feel like if you're asking me who I would, like, push down and I would want, like, the least amount of playing time out of these guys, sure. I would say TJ.
Okay.
But that's awful.
But
so I feel
that's
like
valid, though.
I feel like Mikal has to be at the 4, but I feel like he's too, like, I feel like he's going to be better than that, and he's going to, as I just said, demand those minutes, so.
Yeah, and I'll put Bridges at 4 right now just because he hasn't played a single minute of NBA basketball, but talk to me in 3 months and that could change. Okay, so then number 3, so we've got King, I said Bridges, and are you going with TJ?
No, okay. I want to say TJ because I feel like, sorry TJ, I love you, I'm just going to stop there.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I feel Bridges right now is technically 4.
Okay, so 3, who do we put at 3?
TJ.
Yep, that's what I would say. 2 is...
So, to start the season, he needs more playing time, and he should get more playing time, but Josh.
Yeah.
But he still has work. He still has to get better. And right now, you're going up against Kevin Durant and LeBron James is of the world every night. You're going to want Trevor Ariza on them than Josh right now.
Yes, I agree. So Josh Jackson at number 2, Trevor Ariza at number 1. But what I see happening in games where we're playing teams who don't have Durant or LeBron or whoever, I see Ariza starting, but Jackson ending up getting more minutes. And I think that's fine.
I don't think that's crazy.
I could just totally see that happening, and I'd be fine with that. You know, and I think what we have heard a lot is it's not about who starts the game, it's who ends the game. I don't know. I think starting, there is something to that, but it's not really that big of a deal.
I wouldn't be surprised if they both got very similar minutes and it was over, like, they add up to more than 48 minutes. So they're playing together.
Yes.
Like, that kind of thing is going on. I would not be surprised about that at all.
Right, I agree. Well, and especially, like we talked about last week, with Josh Jackson being a little bit more versatile. And he played a little bit at the four even last year. It didn't go well at all, but he did it. So he has a little
bit. With both of those guys out there, it'll be Ariza playing ball four, not for Josh. Sure.
Yes, but he's got a little bit of that experience. And, I mean, playing the two. A lot of people think Jackson is more of a two than any. I think he's more of a three, but I don't know. I don't really care. I don't want to put... He's just Josh Jackson. I don't care.
He's a wing, yes. And he has a lot of upside.
Yes. All right, everyone. This week's episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. Head over to bluechew.com to get the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. It's got the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. But since they're chewable, they'll work even faster than a pill. You can take them anytime, day or night, and even on a full stomach. It's cheaper than the other two, so this is a no-brainer. You also don't need to go to a doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line, because Blue Chew ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. So here's the deal specifically for our listeners. If you visit bluechew.com, you get your first shipment free when you use promo code PHX. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. So go to bluechew.com and use the promo code PHX. So earlier this week, David and I had a discussion, argument, what do you want to call it, about the topic of positionless basketball. So I'll let you start with this, I guess, and sum it up a little bit, but just the gist of the discussion and then your side of it.
All right, so the new buzzword in NBA is about positionless basketball. You know, it's all every once in a while it's about how the big is dying or how, you know, all this other stuff. Right now it's positionless basketball. That's what everyone wants to talk about. So the idea trying to discuss of what the Suns are even going to do and everything that's going to happen during the regular season, everything that, like, how everything's going to shake out, how our lineups are going to be. I believe that you have to play still pretty traditional unless you have the talent and the players to where you can mess with your lineups more and play more of that versatile, like, three wings basketball. You have to, it's very lineup specific. You can't do it all the time, but, you know, it can happen. And a lot of people will try to emulate Boston a little bit more where, you know, you're going to be playing Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Gordon Hayward all at the same time. Or, you know, some of these other small ball lineups where, like the Rockets, who are playing basically PJ Tucker at the four during the playoffs, and then alongside Trevor Ariza and James Harden, you're gonna see this a little bit more, but it's going to be very lineup specific. Mitch, you're kind of more on that this is just how it goes, and you know, you're drinking that, you're listening to Zach Lowe a little bit more, and you're all in. And I'm just kidding.
Well, I will say Zach Lowe has been putting out episodes again, and This is one of the most exciting times of the year. People call it the pre-season. And I want to do a quick shout out to the new podcast Buckets with Amir Blumenfeld, comedian, really, really funny guy. I've followed him, Jake and Amir, if you've heard of those videos from College Humor or the HeadGum Network. They have a bunch of podcasts. Buckets is just the newest one, and I've followed them for a long time, so I highly recommend checking that out. But he talked about in their most recent episode about this being the pre-season, about how, like, Media Day is coming up and more articles about the NBA are coming out and podcasts and all that. Zach Lowe's put out a few podcasts recently, and the starters are coming back soon. I'm so excited. And training camp starts in 2 weeks. Like, we're getting there. It's the hype. But I am on that positionless basketball in like very large air quotes hype train. But the way I look at it is this is not a new thing. This is something that teams have been doing for quite a while. There just wasn't really a word for it for the longest time. I mean, the 7 seconds or less Suns did this to an extent, but no one was calling it positionless basketball. They were just doing it. And I just think it's a way of life more than anything, a philosophy, if you will. And this is what I think. You look at a team like the Suns, not very good. We're going to improve, but we're not a good team, okay? We can all admit that. So why be so rigid in like we need to have a point guard who facilitates and is a good ball handler and does all of this stuff that a traditional point guard does? Why do we have to be so stuck on that rather than say, let's find our five best guys and put them all out on the court? Even if three of them are 6'8", 3-and-D kind of guys, who cares? Find the five guys that you that give you the best chance to win. And I know matchups, you got to account for that a little bit. But I, at this point in where the Suns are at, I just want to see our best five players on the court. And I think that gives us the best chance to win.
So where this, the biggest thing with this whole thing and our discussion is Mitch thinks that Devin Booker should probably just start a point guard.
At this point, yes.
At this point. At this point where, you know, our other options are Shaq Harrison, Ellie, and Isaiah Cannon, apparently.
And he believes, I guess Melton, technically.
Melton, technically, but he technically hasn't been signed to anything yet, I think.
Right.
Still.
Right.
So, like, at this very moment, with no other moves, Mitch believes that Devin Booker should just start at point guard.
But I wouldn't even say it like that. I would say Devin Booker should start, and maybe he'll be bringing the ball up the court more than other players, but it doesn't really matter.
Okay, here's the thing. Should start at lead ball handler. There.
Should be the main ball handler. I'm fine with that.
Okay, there we go. The Devin Booker should be the lead ball handler, and we should just roll with it. When you have a guy like LeBron James. Or Giannis or James Harden or like these guys that are great passers and all this other stuff, you can have them be basically your main ball handler. That makes sense because those guys are just your best playmakers. Devin Booker can playmake and he is getting better at it. But unless you're one of those guys, you need someone else that can shoulder the playmaking. And Devin Booker is great. I do think that as Suns fans, we overestimate and overblow Devin Booker's playmaking ability.
I agree with that.
What like we do, and you know, Chuck can't defend himself, so we're gonna throw this out there. He thinks that Devin Booker isn't really even a good ball handler. He just is one. I'm gonna throw Chuck out there because he can't defend himself.
He said that in the group text.
He did say that in the group text. Group text is the Bible.
Yeah, it's canon.
The show,
it's
so.
Canon for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I think that Devin Booker is above average for a wing ball handler, but that does not make him above average for a primary ball handler. I think he is just average, if that, for a ball handler. Because of that, yes, you can have him bring up the ball. You can have him bring it up. You can have him do some playmaking. He needs a guy that can shoulder that load. He needs someone that can do that as the main priority. Because of that, you still need someone that plays more of a traditional point guard role. Especially since point guard / lead ball handler is the most important position in basketball. And you need someone. Devin Booker is great, but he can't do that for an entire game. He can't do that all the time while he's on there, or even 50% of the time. He needs to do it under 50% of the time.
Okay, let me put it this way. let's say Devin Booker is completely healthy at the beginning of the season, and the first lineup we trot out there is Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, and DeAndre Ayton. Now, our rebounding is going to be terrible. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. And our defense is probably going to suffer. But whoever gets the rebound can get the ball to any of Booker, Jackson, or Ariza and just get the ball up the court as fast as you can and get into something. It doesn't really matter who is taking the ball up the court, is what I think. And just score quickly and frequently. That, I mean, there's a lot of shooting in that lineup. A lot of good ability to score. Jackson can get to the rim. Ayton will be able to work in the post and kick out to shooters. I don't know. I would not mind seeing that.
Ariza can pass. He is not a black hole. But you're not going to want him bringing the ball up the court.
Why?
Like,
why does it matter who brings the ball up the court?
Because he's not a creator. He isn't. He's a 3-and-D guy. He is like the 3-and-D.
I get it. I get that.
Guy. He is not a creator. You're not going to, he is not a guy that can go out there and make a play for someone else. He can move the ball and he can help it not be stagnant, but he's not going to be able to go out there and like playmake.
But in
the guys in that lineup that can playmake are Booker and Jackson, but like maybe Jackson can be like one of these guys that can be like jack of all trades and be able to do that, or maybe he can't, but like we have to learn. You need someone next to him, and like you need someone next to both of those guys that can be a more traditional primary playmaker. Because Devin Booker still needs to play off ball and Josh off ball, and they both need to have the threat of being off ball while we are implementing an offense.
Well, and that, I mean, that's the strongest argument against my case, I think, is that Booker thrives off the ball so much. And I don't want him in that role 100% of the time at all, or even 50, you know, because he needs to be able to spot up. He needs to be able to cut and move without the ball. He's good at that. We know that. But what about, like, so in a half, just regular old half-court set, no fast break, Ariza, say he grabs a rebound and pushes the ball up the court and just gets to his spot. The ball is going to swing to him eventually at some point in our offense. It's hard to say because we haven't really seen the new offense, but we can assume the ball is going to be swinging and moving. Just get to his spot, and maybe the offense starts at the second or third pass. You know, I don't think that's that bad for a little bit of the time.
Here's the thing. With the examples of these three-wing lineups that, like, Boston, Houston, all these other ones, they're, like, Houston, P.J. Tucker isn't pushing the ball up the court.
That's true.
Always James Harden or Chris Paul. If PJ Tucker gets a rebound, he's doing an outlet pass and getting it to James Harden or Chris Paul, or he's just waiting there and handing it off to them. That's what's happening. Like, PJ Tucker is not pushing the pace. Trevor Ariza did not push the pace in Houston. You made sure that
I'm not even saying pushing the pace, though.
Not push the pace, but push it up the court. He did not do that. He got it to James Harden or Chris Paul.
Right.
With Kyrie out in Boston, if Kyrie didn't have it, what we saw Rozier and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum do some of that. But those guys are special examples because they're also good ISO scorers. So they can play in isolation and do okay. The Lakers were going to end up seeing something where any one of Brandon Ingram, LeBron, or Lonzo will push the ball up the court and be able to do that because they have a little bit of playmaking ability, even if it is just ISO scoring. And of course, obviously, neither of the ones on the Lakers guys are necessarily ISO scorers. They are drive and kick guys or playmakers in their own right. But Boston, a little bit more ISO scorers, aren't like going to get like 7+ assists a game. But because of the fact that they can score in isolation will help them playmake for other guys. Like, Trevor Ariza can't score in isolation. The reason that he had a career resurgence was because he got to play against alongside John Wall and James Harden, and then James Harden and Chris Paul, who could spoon-feed him in his spots and get him open looks to do that, because he can't do it himself. When he had success before that was when he played on the Lakers next to Kobe. Okay.
So let's, I like this. Let's replace Ariza in this case with TJ Warren. How does that change things?
If TJ brings the ball up, he's not a playmaker.
Right.
He's not a playmaker.
That's very, very true.
And that's the thing, is that if you're going to do this kind of lineup, you need to have three guys who can bring the ball up the court and playmake and look to, and can either create for their teammates by just being a great isolation scorer, or are good playmakers. And if you have Josh and Booker out there, you still need someone else. And because of that, the only other guy that we have that can do that is a guy, and like, he's not very, like, it's going to end up being a Shaq Harrison. We still need a guy that, a traditional point guard, basically, because we don't have anyone else that can playmake.
But haven't we said that Shaq Harrison isn't a very good playmaker?
He is not necessarily a good playmaker. But he's better than anyone else on the team.
Of what is left
over. Like,
What about Elie Okobo? Isn't he known for being a playmaker? Isn't that like his thing?
Yes, but he is still a work in progress and a rookie.
I'm just throwing out all the options.
You are, but like, the thing is that Shaq Harrison will go be a pest on defense. And will be able to bring up the ball and isn't going to just look to score. He's not the best playmaker, but he can keep the ball moving and can do some stuff in isolation and try and get to the basket where, you know, you can get it to other guys.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'll be honest here. I have no idea who's going to start this season. And I don't think anyone does. Like, one, the Booker injury is still a little unclear. Like, will he be available? That changes things. I'm assuming no, because they said 6 weeks, so that puts him out for 1 week. But you never really know with that kind of stuff. So that's a question mark. The next question mark is, do we make another move before the season starts? Which, having this conversation, I'm just like, we better do something. Or, here's the other option. NBA 2K19 just came out recently, and here's their starting lineup when you play as the Suns. And if this is what we actually start, it's going to be a long season. But we start Booker, Jackson, Ariza, TJ, and Ayton. And that's not going to go.
That'll be the worst offense in basketball.
Yep.
Like,
and I mean, and it's like hard to play with that team. I've been playing through the season a little bit, and I'm like, why are we so bad at scoring? And I'm not the best 2K player in the world, so I know a lot of that comes into play. But like, it's a rough lineup. But the other interesting thing that I want to mention really quick about 2K is they don't even have Shaq Harrison on the Suns roster. And I know they don't usually update the rosters until the start of the actual season, which is like, that makes sense. But on my version of the game, at least, I don't even have Shaq Harrison. So that's kind of scary.
And 2K is awful about this because, like, I mean, the 1 year where we drafted Chris and Bender, they had, like, the Suns as one of the main teams, like, of like the show off teams, and they started Chris and Bender at the front court even when we had Chandler, and then it got updated after the fact.
Right. Like, right. But I mean, I just, like, once I got it, I was curious. I'm like, oh yeah, what is the starting lineup gonna look like? But yeah, I guess more to come, TBD on that discussion. But yeah, let us know on Twitter at SunnyandPHXPod. What do you think? Who should start? Do you like the idea of the positionless thing, or do we need a traditional playmaking point guard in the game at all times? Let us know what you think, because I don't really even know. I have no clue what we're going to do.
Get ready for 20-plus minutes a night with Shaq Harrison.
I guess. All right, well, I think that will do it for the basketball talk, but let's get into our non-sports section of the show. So, as a reminder for those who have been listening for a while, or new people who might not know this, David and I like a lot of the same music, and for a long time, I had a segment called Mitch's Face Melting Minute. I have a Spotify playlist under the exact same name that you can follow, that I have continued to update, even though I don't talk about it weekly, but we're just going to talk about the music we've been listening to recently. And there's a few new things that I've been into, but I'll let you start with this one, David.
Yeah, so, you know, music, big part of our lives and everything. I've been listening to a lot of, like, kind of different stuff, and almost going back a little bit to high school, I'm almost going to say, because, you know, I've been wanting some more jammy stuff. You know, you listen to Polyphia, and, like, it's very kind of, you know, it's very jam oriented, where like it's got some good riffs, it's like really relaxing and good to
riffs,
listen to.
Hooks, a lot of hooks.
Yeah, so like just some of that kind of stuff I want a little bit more of. So I ended up like I have like a million playlists on Spotify, and I
ended up making this one, and as a little bit, there's this guy called Grandson
who kind of has like these kind of like hip hop beats along with like some good guitar and like
some good kind of, like, alternative-y, like, music. And that's pretty sweet. So I've been listening, like, basically to his entire... He has an EP called Modern Tragedy, which is pretty solid. Been hitting that up.
There's also this band called The Fever 333, who is, like... It's kind of like my style.
Oh, Mitch knows what I'm talking about here, but, like, it's got a little bit of screaming. It's a lot of cleans. Kind of a little bit more, like... alternative-y, and like this, the kind of like screaming and stuff in it is a little bit, it's like a little higher. I normally listen to a different range, but a little bit higher stuff. They've got their kind of EP Made in America, which is pretty solid and has some sweet songs on it. And then been going back to Brand New after listening to Taking Back Sunday. Jumped into them again because I kind of group those two bands together, obviously. But listening to Brand New, listening to their albums Deja Entendu and Your Favorite Weapon, kind of two of their first albums, and there's just some great stuff on there. And then listening to a bunch of different Taking Back Sunday as well.
Nice. Taking Back Sunday, always good. All of that is good stuff, and some stuff I'll have to check out that I've never even heard of. What I've been listening to a lot lately, the new Fit for a King album, it's called Dark Skies. I never really liked Fit for a King all that much, but a friend of mine suggested that I check this out, and it's really, really good. The songs, let's see, Backbreaker, I really like, and Youth/Division, really, really cool songs. This like just came out on the 14th, so I've been listening to that quite a bit. It's really cool. I've also been listening to a guy named Kuko. I don't really know what to call his music. It's kind of like, it's poppy. It's kind of indie. It's a little bit of rap. Some of it's in Spanish. It's like mostly English, but he throws in some Spanish. He also plays guitar. He plays trumpet too. Really cool. I like, he has a song called Lo Que Siento that I listen to all the time. So I would check Kuko out. I also have been listening to a band called Invalids. They have an album called Strengths that came out a few years ago that's really, really solid. The song Satellite is really cool. It's got an a cappella intro, but it's like, not as heavy as some of the like prog math rock stuff that I listen to, but it's still like a lot of guitar tapping, a lot of the like technical super music theory heavy stuff. So that's really fun to listen to. It's a little bit more relaxing than a lot of the more complicated stuff I like, because very, very, very little screaming. It's kind of like the instrumental prog stuff I've talked about, but just with words on it. Veil of Maya, I've gotten really into again. Ever since they added like clean vocals, at first I was like very apprehensive, but it sounds really good, and I listen to them quite a bit. And then aside from that, I would just say what I have talked about the last time we talked about music, with like bands like Covet, Polyphia, Yvette Young, Mystique, a lot of just like very talented guitar slash piano players, and a lot of instrumental stuff. That's just what I'm really into right now. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, and also always listen to some hip hop stuff, mixing it in with that. And I've been really into like Drake features again. Kind of was a couple months ago, and kind of jumped back into that. Probably partly because of Sicko Mode, but whatever.
That song is so good.
That song is great, and I was a little sketched out by it at first. You know, it's kind of funky, and I thought that kind of the beginning, like, kind of intro is, I wish it went on a little bit longer, but, you know, I gotta love it because of the book shout out. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah. I mean, so, funny story with that song, actually. I was playing basketball the other day. This was probably a couple weeks ago. Just playing a pickup game. I think it was like 3-on-3 half court. And that song came on, and those who have played with me before know I am not a three-point shooter. And as soon as that song came on, I got the ball in my hands and I just chucked up this three. And I was like, I just got so excited. I had to shoot it. And I'm pretty sure I airballed it. But whatever,
doesn't matter.
It was worth it. That song just is like such a great pump-up song. And like, I just sit and wait and wait and wait for Wet Like I'm Booked.
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's like way late in the song, but oh, that moment is just so good. Yeah, I like to cycle through a little bit of hip-hop here and there. And yeah, the Drake features are always good. Sicko Mode, for sure. Trying to think. Childish Gambino is always good. I know you love him.
Gambino, Gambino always. I also, Chance the Rapper, I don't know how old these songs are, but he put out a couple, like, just like two songs. And it's I Might Need Security and Workout. And if you like Chance, you're gonna like those songs. I Might Need Security is a little bit more hip-hoppy, and it's pretty great. And I was glad that there was some newer Chance stuff to throw onto the playlist.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we can't talk about rap without talking about Kendrick for me.
Yep.
He will always be my favorite. I'll listen to Kendrick all the time. Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff is good, but I think we're missing one very important song that we need to be talking about. And that's the 1992 classic What's Up by Four Non-Blondes. We were listening to that before the start of this show. And man, that is, I mean, I don't know that I want to use the word perfect, but that might be the perfect song.
You know, I just have images of rainbows and He-Man whenever I think of that song. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes me back to a simpler time. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the song, it's the He-Man meme, I guess. Or, I mean, the song itself is, like, pretty fun. And you can just, you know, you can just say, hey, whatever you want, and everyone will know what you're talking about. And they'll be like, oh, that's the song from that thing, or from this, or that. Like, it's in all kinds of stuff. And, oh, it's just, it's a very happy song.
Put smiles on all of everyone's, I was going to say the children's faces, but the kids don't know about this stuff. These darn kids.
They should. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Sunny and PHX Pod. We will be back next week with our breakdown of the power forward position and any news that comes up. And until then, what's going on, and go Suns.